All right, good afternoon, everybody. I want to welcome everybody to the broadcast. If you would, just take the time to tell us hello down here at the bottom. Let us know where you're joining us from. If you're new to the broadcast, please let us know below by saying I'm new or putting a little emoticon that's waving or whatnot so that we will know that you are new. We're going to go ahead and share this. So give me just a second. As we are going to share this link and post it to a couple locations so that we can alert and notify people that we are on. So you just have to bear with me for just a second on this. I hope everybody's having a good day today. It is Friday. That's always a plus, right? So forward to the weekend. So we're almost ready. Just a second, guys, and we'll get started. Again, I'm Ricky Scapell, the founder of End Time Headlines, the pastor of Remnant Revival Ministries. And today, we are going to be dealing with a particular subject that kind of stood out to me. In fact, there's a deeper layer of this that I want to share with you. And it's going to be in 1 Samuel. Again, that's 1 Samuel. The book of 1 Samuel is where I want to go. I want to pull this up here, guys, so that we can, I can follow along with you as well. So it's good to see everybody on this Friday afternoon. I hope everybody's having a great day. And again, 1 Samuel, I want to talk about when the enemy taunts your barren season. When the enemy taunts your barren season. And again, this is, if you have your Bible, you can follow along with me. We're really going to plow into this thing. I don't even really have notes on this because there's so much stuff in this that I want to draw out and just kind of, it's going to be more of a preaching. More preaching than there is teaching today. I just feel like a preaching spirit on me today. When I got into this message, I really was drawing stuff out. So I believe this is going to be a word not for everybody, but I do believe it's going to be for somebody that's watching us today. Now, there's a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah. His name, Elkanah, actually means possessed by God or under the influence. Under the influence or complete possession of God. How would you like to have a name like that? The son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tahu, the son of Zuph and Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, which, by the way, her name means grace, and Peninnah. And Peninnah, so he had two wives. Come on, that's Old Testament, not New Testament. Don't get any ideas, fellas. We're to be the husband of one wife, not two, not multiple. True Christians don't practice polygamy. So I just wanted to say that. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. So I want you to notice something right off the bat, because this is going to kind of develop where we're going with this. Hannah was barren, but Peninnah was not. She bore children. This man, talking about Elkanah, went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. Now listen to this. But Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. So notice that Elkanah was favoring the barrenness, but he did not show favor towards that which was fruitful. Now, again, this is really interesting, because in today's society, the culture of the world would have it total opposite. We tend to want to cater to what is producing to us. What is, how can I put this? What is benefiting us, and we neglect that which is barren, that which is unfruitful. But come on, somebody, there's always somebody that has a vision to see beyond the circumstances, beyond the reality, beyond the negativity, beyond the doctor's report, beyond the darkness, beyond the unbelief. And I believe Elkanah, being that he was possessed of God, he was under the influence of God, he possessed the ability, come on somebody, to see through what was once barren and see that it has the potential to be fruitful and multiply. Come on. So here it is. I want to read this. Let me go back to verse 5, 1 Samuel 5. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, but he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. Now, I told you this was a word for somebody today. I believe there could be someone in the natural. And now we have one of our ministry supporters and one of our family, we call them family, messaged me the other day. And I won't mention her name, but she said that she had had multiple miscarriages and they had tried and tried and tried for a boy. And she emailed me or messaged me and said, I want you to agree with us that there'll be no more miscarriages and that this baby will come forth. So in other words, there were circumstances in the natural, just like here with Hannah. But have you ever noticed in your barren season? Now let me go. We could talk about this in the natural, but let's talk about spiritual practicality here. We can have a barren season. It's almost as if we've had our hand to the plow. We've sown our seed. Come on, we've honored. We've sought the Lord. We've asked. We've seeking. We've been knocking. But it seems like everything just remains barren. It seems like we can't get a breakthrough. It seems like we can't get an answer. It seems like we can't get a head up. We can't get out of this thing. We can't break the cycle. We can't break the season of barrenness. And it inevitably, every single time that you and I will go through this season of barrenness, the enemy will always position someone or something to rival or to provoke us, to keep us in a state of being miserable because we dwell on the temporal and not keep our eyes on the eternal and knowing that this season shall pass. Come on. The other day I was listening to Pastor John Kilpatrick and he was sharing a revelation that the Lord spoke to him many years ago. And the Lord told him about seasons and about trials. And he took him to a grocery market and he pulled out a can of green beans or corn. And he was looking at the can and it had an expiration date. And he heard the Holy Ghost speak to him in the aisle of the grocery store and told him, John, you need to know something about trials. You need to know something about tribulations that you will go through. Every trial has an expiration date, just like these cans do, just like this food does. It has an expiration date. Your trial, it may last for 3 months. It may be going for 6 months. It may go for a couple weeks. It may go for a couple years, but it has an expiration date. See, Hannah, come on. Hannah didn't realize that her expiration date was right around the corner. Although there was taunting, the enemy was provoking her. Her rival was there day after day after day. Come on, some of y'all, your rival, it may not be your sister. It may not be your brother. It might be your husband. It might be your wife. It might be your coworker. It might be somebody in your family. But they're there. You look upon their life and you see that they're blessed and they're prospering. And it's like they got the best job and they got the best. How did they land that husband? How did they land that wife? They're the picture perfect family. It seems like nothing ever goes wrong with them. It seems like they don't ever have any issues, never have any troubles, never have any distresses. It's almost as like everything they touch turns to gold. It prospers. It's fruitful. They're increasing. But then you look at yourself and you're like, I can't get any fruit to come. Every time I turn the corner, there's trials, there's tribulations, there's disappointments, there's failures, there's letdowns, there's bills. I lost my job. They let go of me. They demoted me. My husband got fired. There was a car accident. There was this. And it's like, it's this after this after this. So it's almost like the enemy continues to provoke you. The enemy continues to get you riled up. Now watch this. But what I want to tell you today is the lesson that we can learn from Hannah is when the enemy was in her face and provoking her because of her barrenness, she didn't choose to tuck her tail and go hide and go run and be depressed and throw in the towel and say, you know what? I call it quits. I've always failed and I always will fail. I'll never amount to anything. I'll never be like her. I'll never be able to produce. I'll never be able to multiply. I'll never be able to be successful. I'll never be able to fulfill my purpose and my destiny. I'll never be able to preach even though I've been called. I'll never be able to do this. No, that's not what Hannah did, and that was not her response. The Bible says, verse 7, so it was year by year. This wasn't a month trial or a couple weeks. Year after year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she was provoked, and therefore she wept and she would not eat. Have you ever been so disgusted, so busted and broke and disgusted and disappointed and discouraged that you don't have an appetite? You lose your desire to even eat. You lose your desire to go to church. You lose your desire to get in the Word. You don't feel like praying. You don't want to hear you don't want to hear your brother and sister in Christ talk about the Lord. You don't want to go to the Bible study. You just want to crawl under a blanket somewhere, in the bed somewhere, turn off the light and hide in your little cave because of the season that you're in. Watch this. And then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why are you not eating? Why is your heart so grieved? Am I not better to you than the 10 sons? See, oh, come on, somebody. Elkanah didn't get it. Come on. There's a place in our walk with God, friends. Once you've tasted of the glory of God, friends, there, it don't matter how much, see, materialistic things won't satisfy that hunger and that desire that you have. Some of y'all don't even get that. You may not even pick that up on the microphone, but while I was sitting here in the middle of preaching, Siri picked up and I guess thought I was asking her a question, so she interrupted. So just ignore that and we'll move on. So what I'm trying to say is Elkanah could not understand why she was grieved, why she was heartbroken, why she was in this state. He was like, look, I have blessed you. I've given material things to you. I've given you money. I bought you a nice necklace. Come on, I took you out shopping. I bought you a new car. Why are you so grieved? And I feel like speaking out for Hannah, for all the Hannahs that are watching this and say, you don't get it. You don't understand. I don't need your money. I don't need your materialistic things. I don't need all these things because I've tasted of something that this world cannot offer. And friends, I'm going to tell you something. Once you've touched and tasted of the glory of God, it don't matter what materialistic things come. You can have the house. You can have the money. You can have the prosperity. You can have all these things, and it will satisfy for a season. It'll put a Band-Aid on a wound, but eventually it's not going to satisfy. So Hannah said, no, I'm not interested in that. I want to be fruitful. I want fruit. Come on, somebody. A ministry is not considered successful by the amount of followers that it has, or how big the building it is that capacitates it, or how many tithers it has, or how many givers it has, or the amount of money that comes in. That is not what the Lord is going to judge them upon when they stand before Him on that day. Come on, the fruit of it is how many souls were won to Christ, how many disciples were made, how many people was equipped, how many people was set free, how many people was delivered, what kind of impact eternally was made on the people that filled your house up. And this is what Hannah says. She says, I want to be fruitful. I want to bear fruit. I want something to be birthed out of me. I don't want a replica. I want to be authentic. I want something authentic to come from my DNA. I'm tired of celebrating everybody else birthing. I'm tired of celebrating everybody else's blessing. I want to celebrate what's birthed from my DNA. Is anybody listening to me today? Can you relate to Hannah today? So in verse 9, Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, and now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And your Bible says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Now I'm going to tell you something. Oh yeah. When you begin to go before the Lord in bitterness of soul, begin to weep and pray and begin to weep in anguish, I'm going to tell you, the Bible says that the Lord is nigh unto those with a broken heart, and he saveth such that has a contrite spirit. I'm telling you, when she got into this position, when she positioned herself into this position, all of heaven began to open. The Lord, I'm not saying the Lord didn't hear all those years, but I'm going to tell you, something happened. The brokenness attracted the presence of God. The brokenness, the anguish, the cry, the intercession began to attract the Lord. Listen to the verbiage of her mouth. And then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon my affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to you all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. In other words, he'll be sanctified and set apart for your work and your kingdom. In verse 12, are you listening to that? Listen what Hannah didn't run. She didn't throw in the towel. She became anguished. She cried out in anguish. She began to step up her prayer. She began to step up her intercession. And it went from cries of anguish till she began to make a vow to God. God, if you'll make me fruitful and produce an offspring from my body, I will dedicate him wholeheartedly to you. He will be a mighty man of God unto you, and to you can use him for your work and your kingdom. She got down to business. And it happened as she continued praying. Now watch the response of the leadership. See, I believe Eli here is a picture of the modern day church culture and a lot of the leaders. Watch this. I'm going to prove it to you here in a second. I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli watched her mouth. Notice that Eli didn't partner with her. He didn't contend with her and for her. Instead, he stood at a distance and watched her mouth. Now, Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Oh, come on. I come by to tell somebody today, listen, a lot of church programs and protocol will tell you, you've got to say for years we've been told we got to recite the sinner's prayer. You won't find the sinner's prayer anywhere in the Bible. Can I tell you the truth? Jeremiah said, these people draw near to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But here's Hannah, who there was no sound from her lips, but her heart was touching the very throne room of God. I'm trying to tell you that for me, even 19 years ago, when an altar call was given, I ran to the altar, fell on the altar. I was in such anguish, as just like Hannah was in here, had my hands up crying out to the Lord. There was no sound coming from my lips, but my heart was crying out, forgive me, oh God. I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. Save me and wash me, though no words were coming out of my mouth. And friends, I came up off the altar and I was born again. But see, this is what religion does. It will try to entangle you and put you in bondage through methodologies and things of men and not of God. So notice that Eli did not contend with her and contend for her, but instead he stood at a distance, just like the Pharisees like to do, and just like the religious folks like to do. They like to watch. They like to observe. Why? So that they can make a mockery of things. So they can ridicule things. So they can slander things. Well, I tell you, I sat back and watched that move of God back down there at Brownsville in 1995. I was there, and I didn't get in on any of it, but I watched, and I watched them speaking strange things out of their mouth, and I saw people being slain in the spirit. I saw people doing all kinds of weird and wacky and crazy stuff. I'm telling you, I don't think it's of God. Instead, so they didn't step into what God was doing, but they stood at afar, at a distance, and observed. Watch this. So Eli said to her, think of the audacity of this. Think about what Hannah's praying about. And here comes this man, and he says, how long will you be drunk? Put the wine away from you. Come on, Eli. Didn't you learn this all the way back on the day of Pentecost? This is what you see replicated in Acts chapter 2. Come on, the same thing happened in Acts 2. Let me go over to the book of Acts chapter 2. Here it is. They're all assembled, one mind, one accord. The Holy Spirit pours out unto them. Let me read this. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And this is in Acts chapter 1. And Jesus tells them to go and tarry in the upper room until the day of Pentecost and wait for the promise on high. So here they are, 120 of them on the day of Pentecost. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And tongues of fire set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And when the sound occurred, the multitudes came together. Listen to this. And you go over here in Acts chapter 2, and it says there was mockers that stood there watching and said, these are full of new wine. In other words, they're drunk. But Peter stood up and says, no, ain't nobody drunk here. It ain't even time to get drunk. It ain't happy hour. This is what was prophesied by Joel, that in the last days, God's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. So Eli says, how long are you going to get drunk, Hannah? Put the wine away from you. And she says, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I've not drunk either wine or intoxicating drink. But I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken until now. In other words, she put him in his place. And she said, look, you can judge me on a lot of things. You can judge me the way I dress. You can judge me the way I wear my hair, how long my hair is, how long my dress is. And if I don't wear jewelry, I wear jewelry. I don't wear makeup. Or how often I come to church this day. You can judge me on a lot of things. But right now, I'm not talking to you. I wasn't talking to you. I wasn't praying to you. I was interceding to God. I put up with this long enough, Eli. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know how long season of barrenness I've been in. You don't know how long I've had to look at my rival and see and physically see the fruitfulness in her and see what was producing in her and seeing the blessing on her while I had to stand back and keep my mouth shut. Yeah, they kept throwing money at me. They kept throwing blessing at me. But inside, when nobody else was looking, when the doors were shut, when the lights were out, when the service was over, I was depressed on the inside. I was hurting on the inside. I put on a smile in front of everybody. I put on my church face in front of everybody. I went to, come on, church day after day, week after week. I came to every service and everybody thought everything was okay. After all, your name's Grace. You've got grace on your life, Hannah. You've got grace to endure all these things. But come on the inside of her, she was sorrowful of spirit and she had enough. Who am I talking to today? Come on. Listen, you can put up with a lot of things, but eventually, somewhere, it might be today, it might be tomorrow, it might be next week. You might be able to endure a couple years. I don't know, because the Bible says to every man, You're going to be tempted, but God will not be able to, God will not put on you more than you can be tempted, but with every way, he'll make up a way of escape. Okay, so my season cannot determine your season. My season of barrenness cannot be determined by your season of barrenness. But what I'm trying to tell you is, how do we break that season of barrenness? Hannah gives us the picture here. We have got to do whatever it takes. And if that means that we get on our face before God, if it means we got to make a fool of ourselves, it means if we got to swallow our pride and we got to lift up our hands, and regardless, come on, the religious Pharisees are going to point their fingers. They're going to say what they will. Listen, I had a brother contact me just the other day, and he said, listen, we've been seeking revival. We've been seeking a move of God. And he said, but there's always a Jezebel in the church that always hinders it because they want to control everything, everything from how the service goes, how long it runs, what kind of services, what kind of music should be played, what shouldn't be played, what should be spoken, what shouldn't be. It's total control. And he said, once we got rid of the Jezebel, then the heavens begin to open up and God began to move mightily. Whew. I'm telling you, friends, watch this. I'm not done. See, but this is what happens when we end up like Eli. Because see, if you go over to the book of 1 Samuel, when you go over to the book of Eli, or book of Eli, the book of 1 Samuel 4, the Ark of the Covenant was captured by the Philistines. The Ark, listen to this, in 1 Samuel 13. Now, when he came, there was Eli, here he is again, sitting on a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. The ark of God represents the presence and the glory of God. It was passing by, and Eli was standing at the wayside watching. He heard the noise of the outcry and said, what does this sound of the atonement mean? And the Bible says his eyes had grown dim that he could not see. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. I am not going to be as Eli. I'm speaking in spiritual sense. Let him who has ears to hear. I understand he was 80 or 98 years old, and this talking about the natural sense. Come on. So don't send me any emails and stupid comments like, well, this was talking about the natural. I'm talking about, come on, I'm speaking to you spiritually speaking here. There's some folks in the church that are 20 years old, but they have the mindset of a 90-year-old. And then there's folks that are like Caleb's, that are 80 years of age, but they're ready to take the mountain of the Lord. Amen. So here's Eli. So this is what I'm talking about. There's the modern day church culture. A lot of the church leaders have now sacrificed presence for popularity. They've sacrificed entertainment for the glory. They would rather entertain. They would rather entertain folks and gain popularity and gain notoriety versus stewarding the presence of God, the glory of God, and a move of God. So what happens is, as they continue in this, their eyes become dim to the Spirit of God. So you have a move of God happening right in front of you, and your spirit, your eyes have grown dim, and you can't even recognize when the Spirit of God's moving. So now you're sitting by the wayside watching, and you're seeing intercession. Hannah representing the intercession and intercession, the intercessors, and they're travailing and they're interceding. But you've got a whole culture now that we don't need intercession anymore. We don't need repentance anymore. We don't need preaching on sin anymore. We don't need to travail and prayer anymore. We don't need to have hour-long prayer meetings. We don't need to have all-night prayer meetings anymore. We don't need to fast anymore. We don't need to contend anymore. All we need to do is throw a good program together, and you'll see they'll come. They'll come. So I don't know about you guys, but I refuse to be one who's sitting by the wayside on the shallow bank and not willing to get into the deep things of God. and get to the point where I don't even recognize intercession. I don't recognize travail. I don't recognize a move of God. I don't recognize the Spirit of God moving in the midst of me. And instead, you know what happens? You'll become bitter and you'll become hard-hardened, and you will begin to point your little bony pharisaical finger at a move of God when it's taking place and begin to sow discord. You'll begin to defame it. You'll begin to blaspheme it. Come on. You'll begin to say to an intercessor, you're drunk. When she was not drunk, she was travailing and interceding. Now watch this. Then Eli answered, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition. At least after all that, he began to say, you know what? Okay, I'm going to come into agreement with you. I'm going to come into agreement, and may the Lord grant you your petition. And the Bible says, and she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Why? Why was it no longer sad? Because she touched the throne room of God, friend. She got a breakthrough. No, oh, come on. Although nothing was manifested, nothing was birthed, the seed was already deposited. The seed of faith, the seed of the promise was already deposited. Come on. Have you ever been like Hannah and say, I've been believing God for my healing, and no, it's not manifested, but I know that by his stripes I am healed. Oh, I know that I can't physically prove it right now, but by faith it's done. Just speak the word only and it shall be done. I know I don't have what I've been believing for right here materialistically that I can touch, but I believe that I can call those things that be not as though they were. And this is why Hannah went from grieving and from a sad countenance that to a time when she began to be joyful. And then watch this. So then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. Now that word knew there is new, known, and knowing. It's in the connotation as Adam knew Eve. Okay? Because faith without works is dead. Come on, ask Abraham and Sarah. Although the Lord deposited them a seed in the spirit, they had to do something in the natural to come into agreement with that to see this thing manifested. Come on, somebody. That's a word for somebody right there. So it came to pass, listen to this, in the process of time, somebody say, in the process of time, my promise will come to pass. But while I'm waiting for my promise, the enemy will continue to taunt my barren season. Oh, I got to say it again. Some of you all, listen, some of you people right now that are watching this by YouTube, by Facebook, you have come out on the other end of this thing. You're the Hannah post. You're the post Hannah that you've already birthed that which you believe for, and you understand and you can relate to what Hannah went through. You went through the seasons. You went through the cycles. You went through the day after day, the week after week, the month after the month, the year after year of the taunting, the provoking, the distress of being taunted by your enemy in that season. But some of you all are in that right now season. Right now, it's you're in that barren season. You keep believing, you're like Hannah, you're into that point of anguish and sorrow, and you've been on your knees and you've been crying out before the Lord, and you're saying, God, I'm done with this. I'm tired of this. Let this season of barrenness come to an end. Let me birth that which you have placed in my heart to birth. Notice again, she didn't open her mouth, but in her heart, she said, God, I make a vow with you that I will honor you with the very things that I'm believing you for. And listen to this. So it came to pass in the process of time. Do you know where we lose it at, guys? Not in the conception, not in the birthing, but it's in the process of time. It's in the process of time. Listen, nobody ever miscarriages a child as soon as it's birth. It's in the process. Golly, it's in the process. It's in the in-between. See, it's in the process that the enemy will taunt you like, I know that the man of God told you and gave you a word that this is going to happen or this is going to come to pass. Come on, in the process. But then the enemy will say, it's not going to happen. What if it don't happen? What if it doesn't turn out? What if you lose this? What if you lose everything? What if your business fails? What if your ministry crumbles? What if they die and don't live? What if they don't get healed? What if your kids don't come back to the Lord? What if your kids leave? What if they abandon their faith? What if this? What if that? What if this? He's trying to abort. Come on. He's trying to get you to abort that which you believe for, or he's trying to get you to miscarry it. Come on, let that sink in for a second. It's in the process. But the Bible says in 1 Samuel verse 20, and it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now, this is what I want to close. I want to close here. I want to read this for a second. Here's what I want to speak to you today real quick, and then I want to pray for you real quick. You got to get this in your spirit. I know there's so many layers of deep prophetic stuff in this. Okay? I want to show you this too. I want to emphasize something here. Notice the intensity of the attack was based upon what she was carrying and the threat it posed to the kingdom of hell. Let me say that again. Many times you and I can base the level of adversity that we will go through based upon what we're carrying on the inside of us and the threat that it poses to the kingdom of hell. See, other people may not get this. They may see your little ministry or what they think is a little ministry as a little voice. And it's little, it's insignificant, it's whatever, and they overlook you, and they don't think you're a very threat to the kingdom of hell. Come on, David. But they may try to get others to overlook you. They may think that they just overlook you and you'll be passed by. But what they don't recognize, what they don't understand, and what the enemy does recognize, is that this David may have been overlooked by his brothers, may have been overlooked by the prophet who wouldn't have originally and initially chose him to be the king and be the next one over Israel. But friends, what God noticed, but what Samuel didn't and what his brothers didn't is this, and that is when nobody else was looking, he saw what David was going to be, because he saw him out on the backside of the desert tending to the sheep, singing praises unto the Lord. Come on, warding off the lion, warding off all the enemies that came against the sheep. Okay, so he was being prepared in the private place to prepare him for the public place. So this is why the giant came out and opposed David, because this little David was a threat to the kingdom of hell. So I don't know who this is to. And somebody's watching this right now by YouTube, by Facebook, and you're saying, oh, that's silly, Brother Ricky. You don't even know. My ministry's insignificant. Or what? You know, why is the enemy opposing me? I've already got so many daughters or so many boys or whatever, and this will be our fifth member of the family or third or whatever. It can't be that significant. Friends, you don't know what God has in store for what he is trying to birth in you and to bring to full term. Listen, I'm living proof of that. I got letters put away where my mother, my birth mother, was in conversations with my aunt contemplating aborting me when I was in her womb, because she couldn't deal, golly, she couldn't deal with the unknowns. She couldn't face the uncertainties. She didn't want to deal with the responsibilities of that. She had to give up drugs. She had to give up alcohol. She had to give up some friends that she run with. She had to give up partying. She had to give up these things and to embrace responsibility and personal responsibility. So she went through this. She went through this provoking, this season of being taunted. But thank God, I read in that letter one day where my aunt, who was filled with the Holy Ghost, began to reason with her by the Spirit of God speaking to my mother and began to convince her. And her name was Mary. And my aunt was speaking to her, said, Mary, this child is a blessing to you. This child has literally saved your life from a road to destruction. And I really believe that with all my heart, because my mother lived in the 60s free love era. And come on, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. There's all kinds of drugs and there was all kinds of alcohol. And we're talking about crazy stuff, LSD and crazy stuff that, and I know it's nowhere on the level that some of the stuff is worse today than it was then. But I'm telling you, she was on a path to destruction. But then all of a sudden she got pregnant and it was not planned. Oh, but I beg to differ. God had a plan and God knew the purpose that he had for my life that was in her womb, even though she couldn't perceive it. She couldn't see it, Eli. Eli can't see in the future. He only looks in the now. He can only see here. But come on. The enemy knew the threat, and this is why he was trying to convince her to destroy what God had promised. And look what the Lord has done. Oh, come on. Who am I talking to today, friends? So I don't know who the Hannahs are today. I don't know who the Hannahs are that I'm talking to today, but it's time for some Hannahs to get serious with God. It's time to begin to get on your knees in intercession. Get on your knees in travail and come on, see this thing through. Get this purpose to come to fruition. Get this destiny to come to fruition. Get this ministry birthed out. Get this plan birthed out. Get this child. Come on. When the doctors tell you it cannot be done, come on. God says nothing shall be impossible unto those that believe. Come on, you just got to keep believing, keep contending. And yeah, I know you're in that process, but wait it out because, friends, I'm telling you, it shall come to fruition. And what we got to do in the meantime is prevent the miscarriage and the abortion. Come on, listen, you and I are responsible for the abortion. We can abort what we're believing for. We can abort what we're believing for. See, it's out of their own will. When someone does that, they go out of their own will to do that. And you can do that when you begin to partner with the Elis and you begin to partner with the naysayers and you begin to partner with the enemy and tells you that you're insignificant. It'll never amount to anything. Who are you going to partner with? Come on, somebody. Partner with Elkanah. Partner with a man who's possessed by God. Partner with someone who is overwhelmed and overshadowed and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Listen, when you get someone who's possessed by God and someone who's full of grace and you put them together, my friend, something's going to get birthed. Okay? So that's my word for you today. Let me just pray for you. Father, I thank you today for those that are watching today by YouTube, by Facebook. God, I want to pray in the natural and I want to pray in the spiritual. In the natural, if there's someone watching this today, if there's a woman watching this today who in your heart of hearts, in your heart, you desire, and this has been going on for a long time, like Hannah, year after year, you've desired to conceive a child. You've desired to give birth, but for circumstances, whether it be physically or whatever the case, maybe it's something with you or something with your spouse, but the doctors have said that you cannot bear a child. You will not be able to bring a child in full term and be able to birth a child. I come by to say that the devil is a liar. I come by to today declare, and I speak life over your womb. I speak life over your egg. I speak life over the sperm. I speak life over your body. I speak life over his body. I speak life into the situation in Jesus' name. I declare that you shall conceive and you shall bring forth in Jesus' name. And I declare that your faith shall be shall be charged. You're going to put works to the faith, and you're going to begin to contend. And over a process of time, you shall have that which you have believed for in Jesus' name. Come on, in Jesus' name. Do you agree with that today? And in the spirit, Father, I asked it, Father, that those that are like Hannah would begin to contend as they cry out to you, God, as they contend, that dream that's on the inside of them that they've been believing for, contending for, will come to pass. Though it tarry, it shall speak. Come on. Though it tarry, wait for it, it shall speak. There is a process. And in this process, the enemy's going to taunt you. The enemy's going to ridicule. The enemy's going to lie. He's going to make up all kinds of stuff. But you got to keep contending, keep praying, keep interceding, keep travailing. Come on. You got to keep going forward, because that which has been conceived shall be birthed in you. And friends, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment shall be condemned. And I had to come on, this Kentucky boy right here is going to agree with you that it shall come to pass in Jesus' name. And you shall succeed. You shall be the head and not the tail. You shall be above and not beneath. You shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord our God. You shall be successful. You shall be promoted. You shall do what God has commissioned, what He's purposed, what He's destined, and what He's planned for you to do in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, and all God's people said, amen and amen. Listen, real quick, guys, we want to sign off today on this Friday for the rest of this week, and we'll be back on here on Monday. But until then, if you've not yet subscribed to our main website, End Time, well, actually, our main website now is remnantrevival.org, remnantrevival.org, okay? That's going to be our main website. If you wish to support this ministry, lock arms with us, partner with us, you support the vision of what we do, whether you're blessed by our information arm, which is End Time Headlines, or our revelation arm, our equipping arm, which is Remnant Revival Ministries, we want to give you an opportunity. You can sow right there on Facebook Live. If you'll click under the link right there under the description, you're going to see that link. Click on that link, and it'll take you where you can sow. Again, we are working on our email subscription for the main website. We just got the website done, by the way, remnantrevival.org. So bookmark that, if you would, until we get our subscription base up. And then once we get that, we'll share that information with you so you can go and subscribe just like you do with ETH. So until then, please, guys, bookmark the site. Again, you pray about what the Lord would have to speak to you about sowing to this ministry, partnering with us. If you, again, if you're blessed, you're encouraged, you're informed. Again, I want to emphasize this. These are not two separate ministries, but two separate functions. It's one ministry. It's one branch, one tree with two branches. The End Time Headlines is our information branch, and Remnant Revival Ministries is our revelation branch. So this is why you're getting this today. And this is, again, part of our equipping ministry, equipping and encouragement and edification branch of the Remnant Revival Ministry. So we hope that you're blessed by the word today. I pray that the Lord bless you and keep you. May His countenance shine upon you. May He keep you safe this weekend as you travel and go about doing things with your family. Again, as always, guys, we're going to be back on here on Monday, the Lord willing, and we will bring you a fresh word. And by the way, guys, we have a devotional section on our main website at Remnant Revival Ministries as well, called Fresh Oil. And I'm going to be updating that throughout the week, and we'll put some new blogs in there. New devotionals in that on the website. So we'll be looking for those. And at times we'll probably preach out of that, because, you know, some of those, the material out of that, we can preach out of that as well. So I'm excited about that. So until we see you again, guys, on Monday, again, we love you guys. We appreciate your support to this ministry, your prayers, your intercession, and your giving to help us remain strong for 2019. Love you guys. God bless. We'll see you then.